Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in God's beautiful and wonderful word. There is nothing like it. All we can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God has given us an opportunity to be better today than we were yesterday, to treat today as a gift from God, because somebody did not wake up this morning. Over the weekend, a friend of mine lost her grandmother. Prior to that, a few weeks ago, another friend of mine passed away. We have to understand that every day is a blessing, and we need to thank God for it. Never take for granted that God gave you opportunity for another day. So let's give God honor. Let's give God glory, and let's give God praise today. For he is so good, and we are his children. And all I want is to be loved by my daddy. And as we celebrated on Father's Day yesterday, I pray that all the fathers had a wonderful day and that they were blessed by their family, blessed everything that they had. And, I was not able to give my shout out on yesterday, but I am grateful that I was blessed to have the most awesome, wonderful adopted father ever, because he and my godmother chose me. They chose me for their child, even though they don't know I was actually a stalker baby and I chose them. But, I'll let them think they chose me, but I chose them because my aunt and my uncle were the most wonderful people anybody could ever ask for in a parent. So I have been blessed and highly favored by God, and I can only say thank you, Lord, for being the most wonderful father, a most wonderful God. And as we do this morning, something new, starting with a prayer from our prayer book, and then we're going to go forward. And our word for today is contentment. Each of you should continue to live in whatever situation the Lord has placed you and remain as you were with God first when God first called you. Wow. For when you are so consistent in your love toward me, when I think over the journey that my walk with you has looked like, I see how your faithfulness has followed me every step. I believe that you are working for my benefit, even in the areas that look barren and dry. May my heart find its contentment in knowing you. Whatever circumstances I find myself in, I trust that you are my perfect portion. When I am tempted to run away from the realities of life, meet me with the power of your grace to remain faithfully present. May I stay rooted and grounded in the strength of your love, trusting that you offer everything I need right needed. I will not be found lacking, for in you every possible tool I could ever require. May my heart find its satisfaction in you, my faithful friend. Where does your content come from? Where does your contentment come from? My contentment comes from doing what I do with you. Reading the word of God, studying the word of God, meditating on it day and night, and knowing that God is always in charge of everything. God is in charge of my life. The good of it, the bad of it, the indifferent, God is in charge. And the word that God gave me for this morning is, but God is a judge. He puts down one and exalts another. Whatever God chooses, what happens in our word today, Judah is going into captivity. Remember back in the time of Hezekiah, when he showed everything that he had to the Babylonians, they were not powerful enough to take Judah out. But they came back a century later, ready to do just that. We got to understand that every now and then, things change. What is up may come down. What is down may come up. Is in charge of it all. God is in charge of it all. Not me, not you, but God. And as we finish up 2 Kings this morning and go into Chronicles, we need to always remember the judge of everything. Father God in heaven, we thank you again for this wonderful day, Lord God. And we ask you, Lord God, to increase as a decrease word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you, Lord God, are judge. You, Lord God, are jury. You, Lord God, are omnipotent. You are in charge of everything. The good, the bad, the ugly, God. And all of it makes us stronger. Makes us better, makes us wiser, makes us trust and believe in you more. Because I know, God, that you have been the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I lift this word up to you, asking you, Lord God, as always, please increase as I decrease. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are, a great, great father, a wonderful friend, my biggest confidant and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go. Go with me this morning to 2 Kings chapter 25. We were not able to finish it up yesterday, so we're going to finish up 2 Kings today and go into 1 Chronicles chapter 1. And then we'll go back into our title word, which is coming out of the set out of Psalms this morning. So we will have our Psalms, our Proverbs, and God permitting, we will be in our New Testament word also today, time permitting. And the word of God says, now it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign in the 10th month, on the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and encamped against it, and they built each wall against it all around. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. By the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine had become so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. Then the city wall was broken through, and all the men of war fled at night by way of the gate between two walls, which was by the king's garden, even though the Chaldeans were still encamped all around against the city. The king went by way of the plain, but the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, and they overtook him in the plains of Jericho. All his army were scattered from them and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Rabbah. And they pronounced judgment on him. Then they killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, put out the eyes of Zedekiah, bound him with bronze fetters, and took him to Babylon. And in the 15th month, on the 7th day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned the house of the Lord and the king's house, all the houses of Jerusalem, that is, all the houses of the great he burned with fire, and all the army of the Chaldeans who were with the captain of the guard broke down the walls of Jerusalem all around. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, carried away captive the rest of the people who remained in the city and the defectors who had deserted to the king of Babylon with the rest of the multitude. But the captain of the guard left some of the poor of the land as vine dressers and farmers, the bronze pillars that were in the house of the Lord, and the carts and the bronze sea in the house of the Lord. The Chaldeans broke in pieces and carried their bronze to Babylon. They also took away the posts, the shells, the trimmers, the spoons, and all the bronze utensils with which the priests ministered, the fire pans and the basins, the things of solid gold and solid silver. The captain of the guard took away the two pillars, one sea, and the carts which Solomon had made for the house of the Lord. The bronze of all these articles was beyond measure. The height of one pillar was 18 cubits, and the capital on it was of bronze. The height of the capital was 3 cubits, and the network and pomegranates all around the capital were all of bronze. The second pillar was the same with a network. And the captain of the guard took Sisera, the chief priest, Zephaniah, the second priest, and the 3 doorkeepers. He also took out of the city an officer who had charge of the men of war, 5 men of the king's close associates who were found in the city, the chief recruiting officer of the army who mustered the people of the land, and 60 men of the people of the land who were found in the city. So Nebuchadnezzar, captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. Then the king of Babylon struck them and put them to death at Riblah in the land of Hamath. Thus Judah was carried away captive from its own land. Then he made Gedaliah, the son of Achan, the son of Shaphan, a governor over the people who remained in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had left. Now when all the captains of the army, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah governor, they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. Ishmael, the son of Nathaniah, Johanan, the son of Korah, Sisera, the son of Tanhumet, the Netophite, and Jezaniah, the son of Machonite, they and their men, and Gedaliah took an oath before them, and their men said to him, "Do not be afraid of the servants of the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you." But it happened in the 7th month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Ishmael of the royal family, came with 10 men and struck and killed Gedaliah, the Jews as well as the Chaldeans who were with them at Mizpah, and all the people, small and great, and the captains of the army arose and went to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldeans. Now it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, released Jehoiachin, king of Judah, from prison. He spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prominent seat than those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiachin changed from this prison garment, and he ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. And as for his provisions, there was a regular ration given him by the king, a portion for each day, all the days of his life. Wow. Taken from prison. Gave him favor. God will do what God wants to do. You know, there are those that would say, well, he shouldn't have got favor. But you don't know God's plans for anything. All we can do is trust in the Lord. Give God what is God. And God is in charge of everything. And when we understand that, that God is the judge of our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, everything else falls into place. But so many times we want to try to take the place of God, and we cannot do it. And we shouldn't try to do it. And as we go into the first, into First Chronicles, it says, not stated, but traditionally attributed to Ezra the priest. The dates that it covers the history of Israel from 10 B.C., the death of King Saul to about 970 B.C., the death of King David. King David's reign detailed and analyzed. First Chronicles provides a history of Israel going as far back as Adam. By the 11th chapter, the story turns to Israel's greatest King David, with special emphasis on his leadership of national worship. Another important focus is on God's promise that David would have an eternal kingly line through his descendant, Jesus Christ. The quotables from First Chronicles, I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore. Unique and unusual about First Chronicles. First Chronicles covers much of the same information as Second Samuel, but without some of the seedier aspects of David's life, such as his adultery with Bathsheba and the engineered killing of her husband Uriah, designed to remind the Jews that despite their punishment for sin, they were still God's special people. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. Can I say that again? When God makes a promise, he keeps it. God keeps his promises. And the promise that he has given us is that he will never leave us or forsake us. That is what he said, and that is what we stand on. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And as we go into First Chronicles, it says, Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalah, El, Uzzah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Midai, Javan, Tubal, Mish, and Tirith. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Japheth, and Torgarma. The sons of Javan were Ishlamah, Tarshahan, Kittim, and Rodan. The sons of Ham were Cush, Mezarim, Put, Canaan. The sons of Cush were Seba, Havla, Sabta, Septic. The sons of Ramah were Sheba and Dedan. Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. Mezaram begot Lidim, Ananim, Lagabim, Naphtim, Patharosh, Caslahim, from whom came the Philistines and the Capatorium. Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn in Heath, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and the Girgashites, the Havites, the Arkites, and the Sinites, the Ephraimites, and the Zemarites, and the Hemonites. The sons of Shem were Elam, Ishar, Arphaxad, Lud, Arphaxad begot Shelah. Shelah begot Eber. To Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided. And his brother's name was Joktan. Joktan begot Ahmadad, Lafet, Hazaramad, Jira, Hadaram, Yuzel, Dikla, Ebo, Abinamal, Sheba, Orpher, Havilah, Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan. Shem, Arphaxad, Shelah, Eber, Lit, Ruth, Serug, Nahor, Terah, and Abram, who is Abraham, the sons of Abraham were Isaac and Ishmael. These are their genealogies. The firstborn of Ishmael was Nebajoth, then Kedar, Abiel, Mishma, Duma, Nisa, Hadad, Tema, Detor, Naphish, and Kedema. These were the sons of Ishmael. Now the sons born to Keturah, Abraham's concubine, were Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Ishbak, and Shua. The sons of Jokshan were Sheba and Dedan. The sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Henoch, Abadah, were the children of Keturah. And Abraham begot Isaac. The sons of Isaac were Esau and Israel. The sons of Esau were Elphaz, Reuel, Jeush, Jalam, Korah. And the sons of Ephes were Teman, Omar, Zephi, Getam, and Kenaz. And by Timnah, Amalek. The sons of Reuel were Nahath, Zerah, and Shammah, and Mizai. The sons of Shur were Lothan, Shobal, Zibion, Anai, Dishon, Izar, and Dishan. And the sons of Lothan were Hori and Oman. Lothan's sister was Timnah. The sons of Shobal were Alion, Manahath, Ebal, Shephi, Onan, and the sons of Zebion were Azai and Anaya. The sons of Anaya were Dishon. The sons of Dishon were Hamran, Ishban, Ezraim, and Sharon. Ezra were Philon, Zeban, and Jachin. The sons of Dishon were Uz and Aaron. And these were the kings who reigned in the land of Edom before a king reigned over the children of Israel. Bela, the son of Beor, and the name of his city of Din Habah. And when Bela died, Jobab, the son of Zerah, and Bozrah reigned in his place. When Jobab died, Hisham, the son of the Temanites, reigned in his place. And when Hisham died, Hadan, the son of Bedad, who attacked Midian in the field of Moab, reigned in his place. The name of the city was Evet. When Hadan died, Shemla of Mishraka reigned in his place. And when Shemla died, Saul of Rebathoth by the river reigned in his place. When Saul died, Baal-Hanan, the son of Ichbar, reigned in his place. And when Baal-Hanan died, Hadad reigned in his place. And the name of the city was Phi. His wife's name was Ha, Miki Tabel, the daughter of Midrit, the daughter of Mizahab. Hadan died also, and the chiefs of Edom were chief Timnah, chief Aliah, chief Jephthah, chief Oholabama, chief Elah, chief Neon, chief Kenaz, chief Timon, chief Mizar, chief Migdal, chief Ammon. These were the chiefs of Edom. And I apologize because I know that I know I am slaughtering some of these names. But God knows my heart, as my mother-in-law would say, because some of these names are a mouthful. But please bear with me as we try to get through some of the names of these descendants of Abraham. And that's why when we read all of this genealogy, we understand that Abraham had many children. It wasn't just Isaac and Ishmael. I should say, yes, it was just Isaac and Ishmael. But then he had children with Keturah as well. So there were, so he had Hagar, he had Sarah, he had Keturah with children. So we need to always think about that as we look at the descendants. And, you know, he said, I will make you a great nation. So So why do you think there are so many who are of descendants of these children? And then as we go into chapter 2 of First Chronicles, we look at Israel's children, which are the children of Jacob. It says, these were the sons of Israel: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Joseph, Benjamin, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. The sons of Judah were Onan and Shelah. These three were born to him by the daughter of Shua, the Canaanite. The firstborn of Judah, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, so he killed him. And Tamar, his daughter-in-law, bore him Perez and Zerah. All the sons of Judah were five. The sons of Perez were Hezron, Hamul. The sons of Zerah were Zimri, Ethan, Heman, Kalkul, and Zerah. Five of them in all. Carmi were Archer, Achar, the troubler of Israel, who transgressed in the accused things. You know, we know he was the one that caused them to sin and brought a plague and all kind of stuff. The sons of Ethan was Azariah. Also the sons of Ezron, who were born to him, was Jeremiah, Ram, and Sherlubai. Ram begot Aminadab, and Aminadab begot Nashon, leader of the children of Judah. Nashon begot Selma. Selma begot Boaz. Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot Eliab, his firstborn. Aminadab the second. Shemaiah the third. Nethanel the fourth. Ridi the fifth. Uzziah the sixth. And David the seventh. Now their sisters were Zeruah, Abigail, and the sons of Zeruiah were Ishmael, Joab, and three. Abigail bore Amasa, and the father of Amasa was Jether the Ishmaelite. Caleb, the son of Hezron, had children by Azubah, his wife, and by Jerah. Now these were the sons: Jesher, Shobab, Ardon. When Azubah died, Caleb took Ephrat as his wife, who bore him Hur, and Hur begot Uri, and Uri begot Bezaliel. Now afterward, Hezron went in to the daughter of Michal, the father of Gilead, whom he married when he was 60 years old. And she bore him Segub begot Jair, and had 23 cities in the land of Gilead. Jeshar and Syria took from them the towns of Jair and Kinneth, and its towns, 60 towns. All these belonged to the sons of Michal, the father of Gilead, after Hezron died. In Caleb, Ephrat, Hezron's wife, Abijah bore him Asher, the father of Tekoa. The sons of Jeremiah, the firstborn of Hezron, were Ram, the firstborn in Bonai, Oren, Ozim, Ajah, Jeremiah, and another wife whose name was Ethera. She was the mother of Onan. The sons of Ram, the firstborn of Jeremiah, were Miz, Jamin, and Igar. The sons of Onan were Shemaiah and Jada. The sons of Shemaiah were Nadab and Abishur. And the name of the wife of Abishur was Abihail, and she bore him Aban and Molid. The sons of Nadab was Yelid and Abiam. Yelid died without children. The sons of Abiam were Ishai. The son of Ishai was Shem, and Shem's son was Ali. The sons of Jada, the brother of Shammah, were Jether and Jonathan. Jether died without children. The sons of Jonathan were Pelet and Zaza. These were the sons of Jeremiah. Now Shinhan had no sons, only daughters. And Shahan had an Egyptian servant whose name was Jerha. As Shashan gave his daughter to Jerha, his servant, as wife, and she bore him Attai. Attai begot Nathan. Satan begot Zabad begot Aphael begot Obed begot Jehu begot Azira begot Elez begot Elisha begot Timnai, and Simai begot Shalom begot Jakamiah, and Jakamiah begot Ishma. The descendants of Caleb, the brother of Jeremiah, were Misha, his firstborn, who was the father of Ziva, and the sons of Mishrashad, the father of Hebron. The sons of Hebron were Korah, Tapha, and God knows I want to say all the descendants, but I am not going to butcher any more names this morning. Instead, we're going to go to our Psalms and Proverbs. And again, I apologize for the butchering, and I call it like it is, the butchering of some of the descendants of Abraham and their descendants, because God knows I was trying, but I was not succeeding very well. So I thank God for all the scholars that can pronounce all of the names of these young men and women. Again, please, if you like to know all of the lineage, please feel free to go back to 1 Chronicles chapters 1 and 2. And as we go into our psalm, and again, our title is coming out of the 75th psalm. But as we go back to the 74th psalm, starting at verse number 9, we do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet, nor is there among us who knows how long. Oh God, how long will the adversity of reproach? Will the enemy blaspheme your name forever? Why do you withdraw your hand, even your right hand? Take it out of your bosom and destroy them. For God is my king from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. You divided the sea by the strength. You broke the heads of the sea serpents in the waters. You broke the heads of Leviathan in pieces and gave him as food to the people inhabiting the wilderness. You broke open the fountain and the flood. You dried up mighty rivers. The day is yours, and the night is also yours. You have prepared the light and the sun. You have set all the borders of the earth. You have made summer and winter. Again, God is the judge and the creator of everything. Remember this, that the enemy has reproached, O Lord, and that a foolish people has blasphemed your name. Oh, do not deliver the life of your turtle dove to the wild beast. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Have respect, covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the haunts of cruelty. Oh, do not let the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and the needy praise your name. Arise, O God, plead your own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproaches you daily. Do not forget the voice of your enemies. The torment of those who rise against you increases continually. And that was, I just read the 74th Psalm, starting at verse 9 to verse 23. And now the 75th Psalm, which is where our title comes from this morning. And it says, to the chief musician, said to do not destroy, a psalm of Asaph. A song. And it says, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, for your wondrous works declares that your name is near. When I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. I set up its pillars firmly, Selah. I said to the boastful, do not deal boastfully. And to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak. Nation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God, the judge, He puts down one and exalts another. We got to understand, who is the judge? God is the judge. But in the hand of the Lord, there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is fully mixed, and he pours it out. Surely its dregs will all the wicked of the earth drink and drink down. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will also cut off, for the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Who do we belong to, and who judges us? It is the Lord. I've just read the 75th Psalm. The 70 to the chief musician on stringed instrument, a psalm of Asaph, a song. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. In Salim also is his tabernacle, and his dwelling place is Zion. And he broke the arrows of the bow, the shield and sword of battle, Selah. You are more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted were plundered. They have sunk into their sleep, and none of the mighty men have found the use of their hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse were cast into a dead sleep. Actually, they died. We got to understand, again, who is the judge of all of us? It is the Lord. We call on God in everything. And as we go into the 74th Psalm, some life lessons this morning. Arise, O God. Plead your own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproaches you daily. Many Bible prayers are based on genuine concern for God's reputation and glory. When we plead for God to act in order to defend his name, we pray on very high ground. You know, we ask God, Lord, you are in charge. You know, we don't like it when somebody takes the Lord's name in vain or talks about our Father God like he's not the Father of everything, not the Creator. We get kind of nasty, and man, I know I get upset when I see the Lord's name blasphemed, when I see folks playing with God and playing church. You know, we got to walk in righteousness. In the 75th Psalm, verse 6, exhortation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. God's people are not to curry favor with powerful figures in an attempt to selfishly advance their own careers or positions. They are to work as to the Lord, Colossians 3:23. And leave advancement in his hands. And how many churches did we see and have we seen just give up everything just to be richer, bigger, instead of working with God? We got to understand, how do I deal with the temptation of pride? Is what Dr. Stanley tells us. Is before his death, David told his son and successor Solomon, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. Seek him. He will be found by you. 1 Chronicles 28:9. Our ability to know and seek God and serve him with our whole heart begins with one word, humility. We got to be humble. As the Apostle James wrote, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James 4:6. Sadly, Solomon did not cling to his father's words of advice. Instead, he abandoned his instruction, married women who worshiped other gods. But then, consequences. And while God did not forsake his promise, he did remove his blessing from Solomon's life. If you desire God's wisdom, be sure you are willing to humble yourself and follow wisdom's pathways. God told Solomon he could ask for anything, and it would be his instead of asking for great wealth or power. Solomon chose to ask for wisdom, which God provided abundantly, As Solomon grew older, however, he relied on his wisdom alone instead of leaning on God to inform him that wisdom. In his early years, he had trusted God and wanted to do the Lord's will. But eventually, Solomon stopped relying on the Lord and began to rely entirely on his own ability. That was his downfall. When we fail to humbly listen to God, we begin to listen to the wrong voices, our own, the devils, and those who don't have God's very best for us in mind. We are easily deceived, and decisions outside the will of quickly turn disastrous. We become prideful and in various haughty ways express our independence from God. We begin to make decisions that appeal to our own desires and not the Lord's. We hurt those around us. We miss out on God's very best. How can you avoid these perils? Ask God to open your heart to his truth. Be willing to obey his word, even if it means giving up something you hold as precious. Obedience is always better than the richest sacrifice. Our God is a God of restoration, and he will never refuse your sincere desire to obey and please him. Who are we trying to please? You have folks falling after people and not falling after God. If Pastor such and such leaves the church, then, well, I'm going with Pastor. So you weren't there for God. You were there for the pastor. You know, God watches everything we do. Everything. And it's Proverbs 19:3, starting there, tells us the foolishness of a man twists his ways and his heart frets against the Lord. You know, we follow people that don't even know God, but we want to say they do. But never have they spoken a word of God. And as we go, it says, wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friends. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. I tell you that. He who speaks lies shall not escape. God is in charge of everything, and he is the judge of all things. We got to know who we belong to. Do you belong to the Lord today, or are you following after man? And as we go to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 6 through 7, it says, many entreat the favor of the nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. Come on now. All the brothers of the poor hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He may pursue them with words, yet they abandon him. You know, when you don't have, you want to worry your friends. But then all of a sudden, if you have, you got friends coming out of the woodwork. And most of the time, with a handout. But not a handout to be lifted up, but a handout to be a user. We have to be very careful of the usury spirit, of those that don't want to do anything but take from you. We got to work. As the word of God tells, a man that doesn't work does not eat. But so many times we make ourselves that way because we don't want to do anything. And we got to do a lot of things because we work for God. And as we go into our New Testament word, and as of right now, we are back caught up. Thank you, Lord. And it says this in Acts chapter 4. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captains of the temple, and the Sadducees, came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day. But it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be around 5,000. As we know, on Friday, your girl got caught up in Pentecost. I got caught up. I love the word of God. And it was just so powerful. And as we continue, it says, and it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Ananias the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we were judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, but there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the men who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak no man in this name. You can stop the name of Jesus. You can't stop the praise that we give. You can't stop. Hallelujah. 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 You can't stop. Call them and commanded them not to speak at all, not teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. Hallelujah. Who is our judge? God is the judge. God is the judge of all men. And they choose Jesus. I choose to speak the name of Jesus, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. But the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And we understand that Peter and John said, silver and gold have we not. Hallelujah. But what did they do? In the name of Jesus, they killed a man who had been crippled from birth. 40 years he had sat at the gate. Then he was able to walk by the name of Jesus. God is the judge of all men. Hallelujah. God is the judge of me. God is the judge of you. God will be glorified. He will be glorified in the heavens. He will be glorified in the earth. But God is a judge. He puts down one and exalts another. And he exalted this man who can now walk. Hallelujah. And as we continue in some life lessons this morning, and it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Hallelujah. If God knew that Jesus really did not have to die, then why would he send him to the cross? God doesn't make mistakes. Wisdom is always sound. If he says that we can only come to him through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, then that is the only way there will ever be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 14, verse 13. When they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Real success is never about your own intelligence, education, beauty, or talent. Rather, it is about the Lord Jesus Christ shining through you. Spend time with him in prayer and in God's word and obey him wholeheartedly. that is when he is able to do the most amazing things through you. Hallelujah. Are you calling on the name of Jesus this morning? In Acts chapter 4, verse 19, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. We are always respect authority, even when it is in the wrong. But if some authority tells us to disobey God, we are to disobey that authority. And for Jesus' sake, accept whatever punishment is knelt out. If your authority tells you to lie, to cheat, and to steal, you better say, not today, Satan. Tells you to murder, to disrespect your mother and your father, to disrespect God, using his name in vain, going to idols and worshiping them, meaning worshiping people, places, and things, and not worshiping the one true God, the judge of all creation, then you need to tell that authority, not today, Satan. We got to keep it moving. We got to move in righteousness. If your pastor tells you to follow after some man or woman or something that is not a God, you better pack your Bible, pack your bags, and walk out the door and say, not today, Satan. We got to start acting like we are supposed to, like men and women of God, and not falling for the okey-doke of realities of people. We get more caught up in reality shows and stars of reality shows than we get caught up in God. We better understand one day Jesus is coming back. Keep looking up. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be sooner than later. He is the executioner. It is God. Are you standing on righteousness? Are you standing on the word of God? Are you believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for your sins? He died for my sins and he rose again so that we are healed and set free from our infirmity of sin. We got to pray. And what do? We talked about it. We got to learn how to push. We got to pray until something happens. We have to pray. Hezekiah prayed and got 15 more years of life. We got to understand that prayer changes all kind of things. The positive power of confidence. And this is from Acts 5 to 21. It says, chapter 4, verses 5 to 21. When other people see confidence and assurance in a believer, they are influenced in a positive way. This was certainly true of Peter and John. In Acts 4, they went and courageously preached the gospel to the very people who had crucified Christ because they knew that Christ was the only way. 13 tells us that when the religious leaders saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. As believers, we have the privilege and the power within us to be bold and confident as well. This is because of our adequacy is not within ourselves. Rather, our adequacy comes from the indwelling presence of God. Everything we have, everything we are, everything we do comes from the Most High. Perhaps you doubt that you can be as courageous as the disciples were. How can you develop confidence in your life? And I have four things to tell you how to do it. Number one, you develop confidence by knowing that God is your Heavenly Father who loves you unconditionally. Number two, you develop confidence by meditating upon the Word of God. Number three, you develop confidence by drawing near to God in your prayers. Number four, you develop confidence by keeping your focus fixed upon God. Hallelujah. And let's go back and get a little bit more information. Number one, develop the confidence by knowing that God is your Heavenly Father who loves you unconditionally. Confidence begins to grow by knowing God. God is gracious, kind, forgiving. He is also faithful to keep every promise that he's made to you. Realize that God is committed to acting on your behalf in every situation and will only do what is good for you. Knowing him helps you to have the assurance to face every situation. Number two, develop confidence by meditating upon the word of God. An excellent way to build your confidence is to look at the ways God has worked in the lives of others throughout Scripture. You know that if God has worked powerfully in other lives, then he will do so in your life. Two, God can build great confidence in you through his word. Therefore, when you read the Bible, ask God to speak to your heart. And I say today, God, speak to our heart. Speak to my heart, God. As the psalmist says, speak to my heart, Lord. Give me a holy word. If I can't hear from you, I don't know what I'll do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor McClurkin. Number three, you develop confidence by drawing near to God in your prayers. You can't develop confidence by praying on the run. Come on now. Whether you must spend time listening to him. So often you'll encounter difficulties that make you think, God, you mean, humanly speaking, there is no way this could ever come out all right. These are the times when it's imperative to get on your face before God and tell him how hopeless you feel about the situation. Confess that if he doesn't intervene, you won't be able to survive it. Then having laid your genuine heartfelt feelings out before him, you refocus on how God has promised never to forsake you. Come on now. Recall what you know about him and confess your faith in him. God has never failed you and he will never change. By the time you get up off your knees, you'll have an awesome of confidence because you'll be able to see your situation from his perspective. God can do all things but fail. Develop confidence by keeping your focus fixed upon God. There isn't anything that can shake the confidence that is based completely on God. After being criticized, beaten, shipwrecked, imprisoned, and left for dead, Paul confessed, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. Paul knew Christ personally, and he knew that if Jesus Christ could defend and death, rising from the dead, there was nothing he could face that Christ couldn't overcome. And the good news is that you can know Christ as deeply, as personally as Paul did. Every one of us has the privilege of waking up every morning saying, thank you, Father, for dwelling in me, for your unconditional love, and for your faithfully keeping your promises. Thank you for providing what is good for me. I know that with you, I can overcome any obstacle. I can face the day victoriously, no matter what, because you are with me. However, you have to believe that he is who he says he is, and he will do as he says he will do. If you're willing to make that choice, you can walk confidently no matter what. And like Peter and John, when people see your boldness, they'll marvel and realize that the only explanation is that you've been with Jesus. Hallelujah. Remember who you belong to. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. Remembering, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. Walk with confidence, knowing who you belong to, and you belong to the Father. You belong to the Son, and you belong to the Holy Spirit. Know who you are. You are a child of God. Hold your head up and tell them who you are. I am God's child. Have a great day, family. And be blessed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the reading and the teaching and the hearing of your word. May you bless us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day, family, and join me tomorrow as we move forward in God's word. It's a wrap because I got to go to work. Have a great day, family. And please continue to keep Mother Valerie in your prayers as she is vacationing and having a great time in nice sunny California. So keep her in your prayers, family, and know that she loves you all and she is thinking about you. And forgive your sister because I was about to leave without giving you a word for today. And the word for today is this: good morning and happy Juneteenth. God is the author and finisher of our faith. Rest assured that he will complete what he has stated, has started with you. Write all up in the word this morning. And I got to read that again. And I say, and I'm so sorry for not wishing you all happy Juneteenth myself this morning. But good morning and happy Juneteenth. God is the author and finisher of our faith. We just talked it. Rest assured that he will complete what he has started with you. Have a marvelous Monday. Have a wonderful Juneteenth. And just know that your daddy God loves you more than you can ever imagine. I'm thankful. Remember who you are. You are a child of God. And this time, it is official with my third closing. It is a wrap, family. Have a great day.